Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 5, The Meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva, Text 19. Gopangokula Rakshayam Nirupya Maturam Gataha Nanda Kam Shasya Varshikyam Karam Datum Kuru Dava Gopan, the coward man, Gokula Rakshayam, giving protection to the state of Gokula, Arupya, Nirupya, after appointing Maturam in Matura. Gataha went Nandaha Nanda Maharaj Kangshastya Avakangsa Varshikyam yearly taxes Karam the share of profit Datum to pay Kuru Udva Udvaha, O Maharaj Parikshit, best protector of the Kuru dynasty. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter, my dear King Parikshit, O best protector of the Kuru dynasty, Nanda Maharaj appointed the local coward men to protect Gokula, and then went to Mathura to pay the yearly taxes to King Kangsa. Report, because the killing of the babies was going on and had already become known, Nanda Maharaj was very much afraid for his newborn child. Thus he appointed the local coward men to protect his home and child. He wanted to go immediately to Mathura to pay the taxes due and also to offer some presentations for the sake of his newborn son. For the protection of the child, he had worshipped various demigods and forefathers and given charity to everyone's satisfaction. Similarly, Nanda Maharaj wanted not only to pay Kangsa the yearly taxes, but also to offer some presentation so that Kangsa too would be satisfied. His only concern was how to protect his transcendental child, Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter, my dear King Parikshit, O best protector of the Kuru dynasty, Nanda Maharaj appointed the local coward men to protect Gokula, and then went to Mathura to pay the yearly taxes to King Kangsa. Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the 10th canto, is an insight into the transcendental world. This is the world we're supposed to go to if we want to be happy. An interesting thing here is in this world, people have duties. They actually fulfill their duties. It's not all spontaneous. It's not spontaneous in the sense that they do whatever whimsical thing comes to their mind. They know exactly what they're supposed to do, and that's what they do. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us not only who we are, but who we are, where we are, what kind of body we're in, and what we're supposed to do about it. And partly what we're supposed to do about it is we're supposed to act according to our present psychophysical nature. And there are duties. There's actually things we're supposed to do when we have a certain body. It's not that we invent whatever we want to do when we have a body. No, there's actually certain duties to have in the not only the varna and ashram system, But eternally, if we go to Goloka Vrindavan, or when we go to Goloka Vrindavan, and if we wind up as a coward boy, we don't participate in the rasa dance. Sorry. If you happen to be a coward boy, eternally, you eternally don't get a chance to participate in the rasa dance. And if you're a gopi, you don't fight with Krishna. You don't wrestle with Krishna. And if you're a gopi, you cook. It's not that, my God, I've been cooking so many years, I hope to become a gopi and I can retire. No more kitchen for me. I'm just going to play games with Krishna all day long. That's my rasa. No, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Avayam sattva samushudira jnana yoga vyavyastiti dhanam dhamma sajagnascha svariya taparjavam. That there are actually duties. We have this body, and everyone has duties automatically when they have a body. Now, of course, in modern society, people don't know what their duty is. They think their only duty is to make money and buy things. Go shopping. Make enough money so your wife, and maybe yourself, you can go and just shop. And if you don't make enough money, then somehow or another get a credit card. And then you can buy all these things and fill up your house with them. And when your house is filled up, it's time to get another house, bigger house. So you can put more things into it. And when you're not shopping, Divya Tarateha Tarajan Gatumba Bharani Nava. Divya charte harara jan katumba baraninava. That nidriya riyate naktam vava yena chavavaya. Divya charte harara jan katumba baraninava. That Vana society, what is all it's all this communication about, the fast computers, chat GPT, if you know what that is. What is all about? It's like the Himalayas were going to give birth. You know, the Himalayas are huge mountains and they're all going to give birth. So everyone, all the animals came and everyone came to see what the Himalayas were going to give birth to. So the mountains were shaking, these huge mountains like Mount Everest were all shaking. And the birth came and a little mouse ran out. So similarly, this whole society filled sound and fury, but actually signifying nothing. What is all about? Nidriya riyate naktam. How to sleep at night. If you go on the internet, you can take course, they'll have hundreds of courses how to go to sleep. You can learn very scientifically how to take rest. I can give you all the information now, so save you the. And when you're not sleeping, then how to have sex. That's the main, generally people beforehand, they used to play soccer or, you know, volleyball or something. But now the main sport is sex life. It's become a sport, a pastime. And in order to support their sleeping and sex, therefore they have working hard during the day, try to get money somehow or another, and then spend it to on the house, kutumba, or is it pumsa striya maitune bhavane katam tura ridya granti mahu ato griya shetra tisaptaptu vitera janasya moho yam ahambhameti. If you want sex, if you want to sleep nicely, and if you want to buy all kinds of things, then you have to get married or somehow to live with someone. Get the children, expand. And then you'll become inspired. If you don't make the money, your wife will inspire you. She won't leave you alone. You'll be in constant anxiety. Where is the money? Where is the money? And when your wife goes to sleep, then you finally can take some rest. and dream about making money. So you can get fill up with what? Ato griya shatra sutapta vitara janasya moho yam ahang mamiti. So you can get your house, your garden, your car, and everything else. So you can have your Vaikuntha planet on this earth. Your wife is the goddess of fortune. Your husband's a four-arm, two-arm Narayan. Your children are all expansions. Some of them are plenary, those who have intelligence. And some of them are partial expansions, those who are foolish. Your car is your Garuda. It takes you all over the three temples. And that way one is imagining oneself to be the lord of the material nature and the enjoyer. And that's what all the communication is about, how to become a better enjoyer and controller of the material world, as everyone becomes to the point we can't even figure out where to remember where one's keys are. Although the advertisement of the communication has become a bigger controller, the people are becoming less and less powerful, less and less, their memories are they're losing everything because they're going the wrong direction. Tatas tanudinam dharma satvam socham daya shama palena kaliya rajan nakshatra yor bulam smriti. Day after day, people are losing everything. Tatas tanudinam dharma, because they're losing dharma. They don't really know what their duty is. They have no idea what their duty is. They're just acting like animals. And they're proud that I'm a big animal, I'm an important animal, I'm controlling so many little animals. So therefore, because dharma is lost, therefore, tatastunli socham, satvam, cleanliness, truthfulness, tolerance, mercy, bodily strength, memory, every day it's being lost more and more. And yet people are imagining they're making progress. Therefore, Krishna says that there are duties, even while we're in the material world, it may not be, when we get a material body, we're obligated, even if there is no Varnashram system, we're obligated to act according to the body we have. Just like, for instance, for the brahmachari, the student. What is the student life nowadays? They learn two things, chemistry and biology. Biology means how to chase after the opposite sex or any sex or anything. Fall in love with anything. And chemistry means what's the effects of different types of intoxication. That's what one learns in school. Everything else is just a minor. They major in intoxication and sex. That's the major. As a matter of fact, by the time you get out of university, you can't remember anything else except for that. You've forgotten everything. So, brahmachari is actually meant brahmachari guru kule vasandanta gurohitam asavan dasavanicho guru sorida sarida. That brahmachari life means things like qualities like submission. Could you imagine that? Going to university and telling people, I'm going to teach you submission. The students will probably meet you outside and teach you submission after the class. I'm sorry, I give up. No, I'll never say that again. They're supposed to live in the house of the guru and serve him like a dasavan, like a menial servant. Could you imagine that? Your false prestige, your self-esteem goes out the window. I'm just a humble servant. My father's the emperor, but I'm a humble servant. I'm just waiting till I become the emperor, and then I can actually become who I really am. But now I got to be a humble servant. Brahmachari Guru Kale Vasandantam. Control the senses. No more internet, no more video games, no more glancing at the girl next door. You got to control your senses. You can't. You got to eat when the guru calls you. I'm hungry. Hey, call me. Don't you see I'm starving? You're a child molester. I'm calling the police. Get you arrested. Starving me to death. It's been 3 hours since I've eaten last. Don't you understand? You're the guru. You should know everything. So this is, people think that this is ridiculous. This is barbaric. They're torturing the kids. As one deprogrammer said, I treat my dog better than they treat their kids. They're giving him wax paper to eat off of. At least I give my dog a bowl to eat off of. They're eating with their hands. Could you imagine that? Their hands. So therefore, modern society is completely different from a real society, from a civilized society. But due to our influence, we're thinking, oh, this is normal, this is, you know, this is desirable, this is advancement, becoming more and more animalistic. So if I become a brahmachari, then I should be a brahmachari. It shouldn't be a brahmastra. You know what a brahmastra is? What is a brahmastra?
It's a combination between brahmachari and grihastha.
Yes. It was probably what you used to say, bachelor daddy. No, I should actually work. If I want to claim myself to be a brahmachari, then I should work like a brahmachari, or brahmacharini. Not that when I come to the temple, as I used to say, then I put on my halo, and there's a little halo over my head. And then when I walk out of the temple, immediately two little horns develop out of nowhere. I might tuck in my tail. No, we have to develop we have to know what a brahmachari is. We should be interested in what a brahmachari or a brahmacharini is, and then work according to that. Follow the duties. And then one can actually become a proper grihastha. Not that I work as a bachelor daddy, check out all the women or all the men, and then afterwards I can figure out which one I want. No, that's not a very good idea. That's not how the material nature works. It's not so liberal. The material nature is very strict. Then if one becomes a grihastha, then there's dhanam, dhammas, and jagya. Not that I become a grihastha, now it's time to enjoy for the next 30 years. Until I can't enjoy anymore, and then I renounced my family. I chew, it's like sugar candy. Or gum. You put it in your mouth, you chew it and chew it and chew it, until all the sugar's out, then you spit it out. So simply, we chew on each other for the next 30 years, and when there's no more sugar, we just spit each other out. That's called renunciation. Then we go and find someone else. I was in the airport in Las Vegas, visiting my parents, and there's a whole group of people. They must have been in their 80s or maybe 90s, and they were all boyfriends and girlfriends, thinking about getting married, starting a new life. Life begins at 80. So if we don't follow brahmachari life, then we'll be doomed to try to live out some kind of mating for the rest of our life. But actually, sense and mind control engaging is only possible when we engage in our senses in Krishna's service. So that's what we have to do. It's householders, not householders, oh, I've retired from brahmachari life, now I'm a grihastha life. No, the same principles we learn in the brahmachari life, that's what we're supposed to apply in household life. So we can actually engage our senses in Krishna's service. So that we can actually give in charity. That's mine, it's mine, it's no one else. I worked hard for it. If the beggars come, I give a few cents here. Go away, don't bother. No, one should be charitable, the grihastha. One should be understand everything's coming. Krishna gave me this energy, and now I should give it back to Krishna and his servants. And yajna, one's life has to be a yajna as a householder. That one has to serve Krishna, yajna vai Vishnu. Or else one will simply, everything one does is bound and degrades one in the material world. Then one will become eligible to vanaprastha life. One will be able to follow the austerities necessary. Of course, we don't go into the forest, but at least we'll be able to retire and hear and chant about Krishna, not thinking about another family in Vrindavan, starting another family. Then one can actually come to the platform of liberation, become fearless, cultivate spiritual knowledge, and actually become purified so that one can give up one's material desires. But it doesn't happen automatically. It happens by following whatever situation we're under and try to do that to the best we can. Like Jagatarini Devi Dasi, who was Burjan Prabhu's wife when they were in Hong Kong, Prabhu was talking to Jagatarini Devi Dasi, who was previously, she was an actress in Australia. And she had a big career coming up. She did a movie with Mick Jagger, if you know who he is. You know who Mick Jagger is? What's that? Yeah, Mick Jagger is the head of the Rolling Stones. You heard of the Rolling Stones? Big rocks. Big rockers. And she became a devotee. Somehow or another, she became attracted to the devotees. She joined the movement. And in a very short period of time, Prabhupada told her to get married to Burjan Prabhu, an American. So I know them both. Since for many decades, and you can, well, I mean, they're quite different from each other, to say the least. So Jagatarini Mataji went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada was talking about being submissive, being a maidservant to your husband. Could you imagine that, getting married and becoming a maidservant? Which lady nowadays gets married to their husband and thinks herself to be a maidservant? It's so far out. It's so much different from what's going on. So Jagatarini, well, the ladies look very grave. So Mother Jagatarini said that, no, this is just too far away from our culture. How can I do this? So Prabhupada said, well, if it's the best thing, why not accept it? If it's actually the best way of acting, why not accept it? So it takes some intelligence. But if one has the intelligence and understands the value and the result, the auspicious result of acting that way, doing one's actual position, then one may adopt it and see if it actually works or not. But that information is not even available. First of all, just as that example, if the wife acts as a maidservant to her husband, then the husband surrenders. It's just normal. He becomes more attracted to his wife and becomes submissive. As soon as the husband becomes attracted to his wife, then he becomes submissive to his wife. So if you want to control your husband, you act as a submissive servant to your husband. And if he's anything normal, if he's not an animal, then he'll also become submissive and reciprocate. But if you compete with your husband, hey, look, kid. I don't accept this husband is superior, trying to lord it over me, trying to exploit me. I'm not going to allow it. Then there will simply be a constant fight in the family. Simply competition. Who's on the top? Who's the controller here? And it will be very displeasing to everyone. There won't be any love and affection because there will be too much competition with each other. Could you imagine the gopis competing with Krishna? Who's going to become God here? No, so one has to understand what one's doing. And it's a little difficult Because it's bitter at first, like poison, but at the end it can be like nectar. That's one of the reasons why sometimes devotees don't like to read the books, because it tells them too much and they don't want to hear it. They join the movement because they were expecting prasadam and dancing. And they didn't expect this philosophy with duties and everything like that. It's just too difficult. But if we actually want to enjoy the chanting, we want to enjoy the prasadam, we want to enjoy the music, we want to enjoy the art, then we have to do our duty. We have to find out. We have this body, we have to use it appropriately. And then the result is that we'll become purified. And if we don't become purified, we can go on with our activities, but it'll just be superficial. We won't be able to experience the depth of Krishna consciousness. We'll just be on the surface, trying to lick the bottle of honey without going inside. So the point is that even when we're in the material world, and we haven't realized our spiritual identity, and we're not working on the spiritual platform, then we have to know what our duties are. If we have a body of a grihastha, or brahmacharya, brahmacharini, or as a Brahman, whatever, we should know what the duties are, and then we should try to follow those duties if we want to become purified. Otherwise, it's just going to be an imagination, Krishna consciousness. And even if we come to the spiritual world, as Gop Kumara in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when he was in Vaikuntha, and he was talking to Narada Muni and Uddhava, Uddhava was giving advice about how a proper kshatriya should work. So Narada Muni started to laugh. He said, even in the spiritual world, here we are. And Uddhava, you still think you're a kshatriya. But a spiritual kshatriya. Even Krishna. So Uddhava said, well, here in Dwarka, we're in Dwarka. Even Krishna works like a king, like a kshatriya. So we shouldn't think I'm going to escape from this material existence. I'm going to be free to do whatever I want. I'm going to go to the spiritual world and just do whatever I want. It doesn't work like that. We have our identities there, and our identities means that we naturally, we're enthusiastic to follow that identity. That's what we want to do. We don't want to do anything else. And here, out of illusion, we're not following even our false identity. We're creating so many falsities, even in our false identity, getting ourselves more and more into difficulty. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Heavy class, wasn't it? Yeah. I got everyone depressed now. Yes.
Thank you for this valuable lecture. I would just like to ask, when we have direct temptations to work according to our own dreams and not according to our duty, so how can we at such time say no to such temptations? How can we also in such time try to work according to our prescribed duties?
Could you say that again slowly?
I would just like to ask when there are some temptations.
Some what?
When there is some
temptation. Okay. Yeah.
So that we would do something according to our own whims. How can we even in such circumstances find the strength to act according to our own duties?
Well, first of all, we should know what our duty is, so we can know. Second is we have to chant Hare Krishna, remember Krishna. Because if we remember Krishna, Krishna will give us the spiritual strength, hopefully, to do the right thing. Without Krishna, it's impossible to, especially in this age, just by sheer willpower, to overcome the force of the material energy. As Krishna says, the invited soul may be restricted from sense objects, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes fixed in consciousness. So only by experiencing a higher taste in Krishna consciousness, by trying to think about Krishna in a favorable way and pray for his mercy, for his protection and shelter. Krishna give us the spiritual, put us under the spiritual energy so that our attraction to the external energy will diminish, or even under the spiritual energy, it'll even be evaporated. So, take shelter of Krishna. Anything else? Khala Grantarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.